Hello, this is Eli Rothberger. Welcome to our Daf HaShavua, Insights of the Daf Shir, where we discuss one of the topics that we learned in this week's Daf HaShavua, a little bit in depth. This week's Daf is Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Hey, and the topic is, when you find a fork in the road, take it. Of course, those are words uttered by the immortal, almost, Yogi Berra, actually is a very good segue to what we're discussing in this week's parsha, actually, Parsha's Yisro, where we see Vayishma Yisro, and Rashi wants to know Mashmua Shama Uba, what caused him to hear and to actually come. See, everybody heard what happened. Yisro actually heard what happened with Yitzchias Mitzrayim and such, and he took initiative, he took the act. Here also, we're going to see that the people of Canaan had an opportunity to go ahead and deal with something, and unfortunately for them, they didn't go ahead and take advantage of it. Okay, so what we have over here is, let's begin with the insight into the Gemara that we have. And the Gemara starts with a topic in the beginning of, the sort of the bottom of, Daf Lamed Heim Beis, and discusses what was written on the different Avanim, or the different stones, that took place, that the Jews took after, the Jews took when they left the Yarden. Okay, it says the following. Tana Rabbanan, case of Kosvi Yisrael as a Torah. How did Yisrael go ahead and write the Torah on the stones that came out of the Yarden? So Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Agabi Avanim Kisavuha, they wrote it on stones. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the Chasavta Sav Al Havanim is called the Riyat Torah Zos. It's written on the stones. They wrote the words of the Torah on the stones itself. The heart of Sadu Osan Basid. And then afterwards, they went ahead and plastered them. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Lidvarecha, according to you, Heichan Lamdu Umos Alon Torah. Then remember, the Torah was written in all the different languages. It was made possible for the Goyim to go ahead and see it also. It's covered plaster. How would they be able to see it? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Be in a Yisera Nitzanaba, Nosan Dama Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if Baruch Hu gave him a little bit of extra understanding, Shigru no tree, no tamer in Shalahem. And their scribes, their sofers, came to the stones. They killed was a sibi zila. They peeled off the plaster and copied it down. Yaldaraz and his chatin gizardin liber shachas. And on account of this matter, the decree to be sent to be destroyed was sealed. And they didn't. It's an interesting question. The Baga, as a Riki Baker learns from here, that if wax chips on the letters of a Sefer Torah, we don't consider them to be mechukos, because otherwise, how could they have gone ahead and carved the name of Hashem? Clearly, this is not mechukos Hashem. So that's an interesting topic which comes out from here, which is interesting to discuss. It's not going to be the topic of this year, but it's an interesting halachic discussion. What we're talking about over here, though, is this was the sealing point. This was the so-called makkeh v'patish, the final blow. They should have listened, and they should have learned, and they didn't. The truth is, though, Tosfos has bothered by two questions. And Tosfos, on the spot, asks, wait a second. This isn't the first time that the non-Jews were given a chance to learn the Torah and refused it. It says, Vim tomer tepek le debishas matan Torah. Let it emerge at the time when the Torah was given, Hechzira kadosh baruch hu kal umma v'loshon. Kadosh Baruch Hu went to every single nation below Kibluah, and they didn't accept it. It's based on the Medrash of the Pasuk, Hashem Yisinei Bav Azarach Mesir Lamo, from Parshas Zosap Racha. And it was really, it's the topic of so many Chumash plays. I remember when I was in elementary school, we had all the Chumash plays were taking place on the same time, on the same stage. And well, what happened is, I remember hearing the other class, it was in my class, but they went through this story, and I remember they said, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, L'Bnei Esav, you want the Torah? They said, Umakas Tuba, what's written in it? They said, Ah, Anach Belo Rotzim. And that's how it went. It's a story that we all know for ages. So why were they not punished for that? Why are they punished for this? And Tosfos answers that the difference is, it's one thing to go ahead and be told a theoretical Torah and said, do you want this Torah or not? Here, it was Biyadayim. Here, it was the opportunity was right there. They could have easily gone ahead and used it and learned it. And the fact that they didn't go ahead and do it, the fact that they didn't go ahead and do it, that already kind of sealed the deal. It's much different. It's much different at that particular time when you have the opportunity and they don't go ahead and use it, something concrete in front of you, as opposed to something which I guess they could have said was more theoretical. Except, however, Tosfos is another question. And the question was this. Tema, Gamar Parakama de Mesechas of Odezara, the Adayin Yishlem Pischon Peh. But the Goyim still have they still have something that they can go ahead and defend themselves. They have a defense. And what's their defense? The defense is as follows. The defense is Sheyomru Kulam, Sheyomru, they say Kum Kapisa Lena Harki Gigis Ki Yisrael. What happened? Then when it comes to the time of when it comes to when it comes to the Jews, Kafalim, they got the mountain turned overhead, and they were able to go ahead and say, oh, do you want the Torah or else you're going to be destroyed? So, yeah, great. We made a great decision. We can't refuse. But if you're thinking about over here, why were the Goyim not given that decision over here? So that Tosfos doesn't give an answer. But the truth is, I saw two answers in the Achronim, which really will answer the question similarly, but a little differently. But the yesod, or the fundamental principle between the two of them, is the same. The first answer I saw in the Yafei Mare was that the kfi was only done for Torah Shebaal Peh. And really, that's them. The Jews went ahead and accepted Torah Shebichsav and all the mitzvot, and that's it. And that was done. Torah Shebaal Peh, which is much more intensive as far as the amount of learning and the quality and the requirements and the dinim and all the time spent in, that was something that was a lot more than even a simple Maaseh of Nishma would require. And for that, that would need the Kafalim Harkigigis. That was given to them. And that was needed at the time. The non-Jews didn't need that. They needed the Zion Mitzvah B'nai Noach. All they needed to do was to look at the mountain, look at the rocks, see it, read it, learn it, take it back, and understand that the Sofer could have taught them. In other words, Hashem gave them what they needed. They had the opportunity, and they didn't grab it. The Ohr HaChama explains that also, same idea, they had the opportunity, but they didn't grab it. And that is because they didn't need Kafalim Harkigigis. They had their own incentive. What was their own incentive? What was their own initiative? The own initiative that they got was the Bina Yisera, from the fact that the Sofer were able to go ahead, see these rocks of plaster, and say, you know something, let me uncover this plaster. Maybe something's written on this. Why would they think normally that there's a plaster written under the plaster? But yet they go ahead, uncover it, see what it says, and all of a sudden they see it's the Torah and they decide to ignore it. Yeah. They had the opportunity. What was needed for them was given to them. And that's why it's very important to realize, to say, well, if I only had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody what you need at that time to succeed. It's just for us to take advantage of it. Now, we're going to see this idea play out in a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which comes up right away, right after this. So we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda had the order that they wrote on the rocks and covered it with sin. Rabbi Shimon has the opposite. Rabbi Shimon Omer al gabei sidka sevuah. They wrote it on the plaster itself. And afterwards, after they wrote the Torah, the Kosvul and Mata, and then they wrote underneath those words, they wrote the following words: L'mana shelo yilamdu hashem la'asos v'chol ha'toivos, and so on. From Parshas Veshalon, it says, in order that they do not teach you to do all these abominations of the different gods, which is kind of giving you, like giving the non-Jews kind of a Pesach. It says, we're doing this, you're supposed to don't teach your children to do this. It's mashma that had they taught this, they would be in trouble. If they don't teach them to do this, but change their ways, everything is going to be okay. Now, who was this directed to? So Rashi says, "V'davarzeh kosvu lamata lo'odia l'shiva umos hayoshvim chutz migvulei Yisrael," that anybody from the seven nations, and Kedani Chite Mori Prizi Vusi Rigashi, that's living outside the borders, shalom istavu lachmiman elal osam shebesol gvulam. Sorry, shalom istavu lachmiman. That they weren't commanded to destroy them. They were only commanded to destroy those inside the borders. They shall yilamdu osanu maaseh mekukalim, that they shouldn't teach us the bad deeds. Avalatem yoshim chutzla, those who are living outside Eretz Yisrael, imatem chozim b'tshuva nekabel eschem, will accept you. V'shebisocha ein mekablim, that we're not going to accept shemach masir osim, because they're only doing it for us here. So what we see over here is that these Jews, these non-Jews, could have gone ahead, taken that message, at least the ones living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and done tshuva, they didn't, and that's why they were punished. That's a big question. Wait a second. If that's the case, you know, there's a very famous Gioris who emerged after Yeshua. And that's the person whose name was Rachav. Because once again, Hefke Bula Rachav. Sha'arei mikananim shebesocha. She was one of the Kananim in there. And the Gemara later on says, in Maseches Megillah, that Rachav not only converted, but she also marries Yeshua. So the truth is, Tosus gives an answer. And the answer that Tosus gives is, when do we say that you're not allowed to accept the converts from the Zion Amun who lived in Eretz Yisrael? That's once the war started. But when did Rachav convert? Rachav converted before the beginning of the overtaking of Yericho. It was right when the Meraglim came in. The Jews hadn't even stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. They were still in the 40-day period of a 40-day period of mourning Moshe Rabbeinu. So in that particular case, it hadn't been Chal. So she went ahead and did it. That's how Tosfos says it. But really, otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to go ahead and accept Rachav. Now, the Marsha goes ahead and says the following. The Marsha says we could explain this case also a little bit further, and gives a different answer. And the Marsha says that, how did they go ahead and accept Rachav? They accepted Rachav for the following way. And we could use this to answer for Rashi, because what Rashi was saying before was it didn't make a difference. Any particular time, you can't accept anybody. Toso says it was limited by a certain time period. Rashi says it was never allowed. So, but yet Rachav is different. And why was Rachav different? Because Rachav made a specific promise to the two Meraglim, Kalev and Pinchas. You can tell me, why is that any different? And the answer is because Kalev and Pinchas saw the sincerity. You see, Rachav went ahead, and Rachav sincerely wanted to convert. She sincerely wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael. I might ask, how do we know that? So, I happen to be, if Yeshua was one of the, he would have been a student at ancient school, go through this process with Rachav, and Rachav is something striking. Rachav tells the Meraglim, and it says the following. We heard what you did to the people of the Yamsuf when you left the It's almost a 40-year period, and yet they're quitting both of them. Why are they quitting both of them? It's because they felt and they saw the Yad Hashem, and it was there all the time. Saw the Yad Hashem there. Same thing. They didn't forget that. If you go ahead and tell people when they're 60s and 70s, and you ask them, where were you the day that Henry was? They'll remember. And they'll ask you, where were you when the time was still down? They'll remember also. People in their 70s, where were you when the time was still down? They'll remember also. You won't be if this happened almost 40 years. Because it was monumental. Except, what's the difference? The difference is Rachav took it. The fork in the road with the Torah, the end or the out, and she took it. She went the right way. The other guy didn't. And what you see over here, is again, we're left with opportunities. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to us. Our job is take advantage of them. We take advantage of them, but as Hashem, we'll be able to be zocha to the wonderful things that we could accomplish, have accomplished, and continue to accomplish more. Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.